This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to look at an original thought, believe it or not. A true insight that had never occurred to me and probably never occurred to you before. An insight on why it is that Republicans had such a disappointing outcome in the midterm elections. Not at all the red wave people had wanted and expected. So what does it have to do with? It has to do with political labeling. We will get to that. A political labeling also that is dead certain to put off and to chase away elites. But by the way, one thing that transcends politics and transcends elites and the proletariat and the silent majority, whatever you want to say, basically I think unites Americans, is the basis for a little bit of celebration. The United States beat Iran. Yes, that's right. On the soccer pitch at the World Cup, it was an intense match, as everyone expected, but the final score was the United States of America won. The Republic of Iran, they still call it a republic, I believe, zero. And that means that the United States goes on in the World Cup, and Iran, to the very best of my knowledge, does not. Okay, having taken care of that, let me introduce our guest. I'm very eager to speak to him because he's written a brilliant piece. His name is Hiram Lewis, and he is a professor of history at Brigham Young University, Idaho. And he's co-author of a forthcoming book that I am very eager to get hold of. It is called The Myth of Left and Right. It's coming out in January from Oxford University Press. Hiram, if I can, let me begin with what you say is that what Republicans need to do is not simply get rid of one particular controversial leader. It's something deeper and more profound and maybe more effective. Republicans should replace the morally flawed conservative narrative with a more principled, positive one that can attract educated voters. You write, Donald Trump is undoubtedly a millstone around the Republicans' necks, but so too is the narrative of conservatism. Why? What's wrong with the narrative of conservatism?
Well, thanks, Michael, for having me on again. This is great to be with you. And I should be mad at you for ruining the score. I had that game taped, and now I don't get to enjoy America versus Iran in the soccer. So thanks a lot.
Well, we try to keep up to date. We have the progressive value of keeping people right at the edge of things.
Yeah, so the reason I think the conservative narrative is a millstone around the Republicans' necks is that it's just not a very attractive narrative. As a historian, I read through the history books, and they all say there were these progressives in the past, the people who promoted historical progress. They have names like Abraham Lincoln, who abolished slavery. That was progress. And Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who won the vote for women. That was progress. And Martin Luther King Jr. came along, and he brought progress, progress, progress. Conservatism says we stand against progress. The way William F. Buckley Jr. phrased it was, conservatives stand athwart history yelling stop. Now, if you have the choice between a narrative that says you can be in the vanguard of history, you can be like Abraham Lincoln, you can be a champion fighting for greater social justice and greater rights, or you can stand athwart progress and be a conservative, the choice isn't that hard for most people, especially, you know, folks in the academy, in Silicon Valley, in the media, in Hollywood. And so it's clear to me that's why, you know, so few of those people identify with the Republicans. It's just not a very attractive narrative.
Well, again, particularly at a moment where one of the things that's been most consistent in American polling for the last 5 years has been people think we're headed in the wrong direction. People think that things are getting worse in America, not better. And if your basic line is, well, hold on, I want to keep things the way they are, or even worse, I want to go back to the past somehow, doesn't that argue against that desire that people have to change direction?
So if people, you're saying the current state that the country's in, where people feel that we're headed in the wrong direction, you think that makes the conservative narrative more attractive? Am I understanding
you
right?
No. I'm agreeing with you. I think when people think we're headed in the wrong direction, that the things are terrible in the nation, the state of the nation is not positive, then saying, I want to keep things just as they are, I want to conserve things, is not nearly as attractive, and which is a point you make, as saying, a time to make progress. It's time for a change. That's a slogan that fits the liberal narrative more than the progressive narrative, more than the conservative narrative.
Oh, sure, yeah, and Barack Obama, you know, rode that all the way to the White House. I mean, people weren't happy in 2008. He said, hope and change, hope and change, hope and change. And I think people want change right now, and so a narrative which says, you know, stasis, stasis, conserve, conserve, isn't going to be attractive. You know, and I hear people, you know, Republican pundits like, say, Jonah Goldberg, who I generally like and agree with a lot of what he says, but he says, you know, to be a conservative, it means to conserve the principles of the founding, conserve classical liberalism. And I'm thinking to myself, you can have all the things you say about classical liberalism and the founding and just change one word. Instead of saying I want to conserve the founding, say I want to progress to the founding. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. did. He said the founding fathers had this classical liberal philosophy. I want this nation to rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. Abraham Lincoln, we call him a conservative, we call him a progressive, and yet he said, I'm trying to advance our country towards the principles of the founding. So to me, that would be a better rhetorical approach for Republicans to take. You know, instead of calling themselves conservatives, call themselves Lincolnians. We believe in the principles of the founding, and like Abraham Lincoln, we believe in fulfilling the founding. So instead of, you know, we have all this critical race theory and all this Black Lives Matter protests, and so you can either be in favor of greater rights for African Americans and be an anti-racist, or you're standing against that, just like Bull Connor did, just like John Calhoun did. You can be in that camp. Well, if you call yourself a Lincolnian, you say, I'm not standing against anything. I have a vision of racial equality, which is the vision that the founding fathers had in their best moments anyway, or at least the classical liberal vision that Abraham Lincoln and the more enlightened of the founding fathers had, and that's the vision we're trying to live up to, the classical liberal vision where we don't judge people by the color of their skin but by the content of their character. That's what King believed in. So it's not racial progress versus racial stasis. It's a positive vision of racial progress based on classical liberalism.
Okay, one of the questions that comes to mind here is, why would it be that if you're right, and I suspect that you are, that the conservative label is a block to Republican success, it is not a contributor to it, why is it that more Americans describe themselves as conservative than as liberal or progressive? And that until very recently, people saw that liberal was a term that everyone ran away from and embraced the term conservative.
Yeah, I think people call themselves conservative in spite of the narrative, not because of it. That is, where people adopt grand narratives, you're talking about, you know, historians, political scientists, English professors, and so forth, they are turned off by the conservative label because they think in grand narratives. But the rank-and-file voter doesn't, and they just kind of respond viscerally to policies. And so you have so much progressive overreach, right? I mean, late-term abortions, that's just an unpopular thing. And when you have these radical abortion activists saying, yeah, we want to be able to, you know, kill a child a day before it's born, most decent people react against that, and they're told that that's conservative, and they say, okay, I'm a conservative. So I think the narrative isn't good, but I think people embrace the label because there is so much overreach by radical Democrats, and I think they do engage in that overreach because they have this vision of themselves as being on the right side of history. And if something has a progressive label, then by definition it has to be righteous and good, and you will all be judged by history because in 50 years everyone's going to think the way that we do. That's my guess.
1-800-955-1776 is our number. Talk about going back to the founding. Speaking to Professor Hiram Lewis, who has written a terrific piece in the Wall Street Journal. It is headlined, "Conservative is a Bad Label for Republicans' Good Policies." We'll get right back with Professor Lewis coming up. In 1982, E.T. and Rocky III were tops at the box office. Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll rocked its way to number 3 on the Billboard charts, and Washington State got its last cut to the state sales tax rate. This is Michael Medved for Washington Policy Center. 30 years is a long wait for a sequel. With record inflation and skyrocketing prices, we're long overdue. After more than $10.5 billion in recent revenue surpluses with no sales tax relief, it's time. Go to OverdueSince82.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The Michael Medved Show with Hiram Lewis. He has a new book coming out, which I am sure includes some of the themes that were animating his very important column in the Wall Street Journal. The column headlined, "Conservative is a Bad Label for Republicans' Good Policies." Okay, one of the obvious questions that you, I'm sure you touch on in your book, but you have not done so yet in your column or even in this interview. Hiram Lewis is a professor of history at BYU-Idaho. My question would be, if conservative is a bad label for Republicans' good policies, what's a good label or appropriate label? You can't just steal the title progressive. That's kind of wholly owned right now by people on the far left. What's a better title that would work for people who are defenders of liberty and the vision of the founders, as you say?
Yeah, sure. So I think I mentioned Lincolnian. I like that term. I say, hey, we're the party of Lincoln, and so we have the ideology of Lincoln. If you want to do that, classical liberalism, that might be too soon. You know, liberalism was so recently the regnant ideology of the Democratic Party that maybe that one won't work just yet. But I think there is a case to be made that liberalism properly understood, traced back to John Locke and Thomas Jefferson and through Martin Luther King Jr., would be a very attractive label for a set of policies. You know, it's something around opportunity. Say, you know, we're not the party of conserving things. We're the party who believes in providing opportunities. Widely meritocracy, that's a word that's kind of back in the news. Adrian Wilders just wrote a book on that, which I'm totally convinced by, that meritocracy is, you know, the best of all ocracies, if we have to have one. So meritocracy, you know, realism. Thomas Sowell has talked a lot about a realist approach to reality versus the kind of vision of the anointed. So that would be one. I hear a lot of people who I'm sympathetic to calling themselves constitutionalists. You might use the term common sense or something like that. I mean, it just seems like any of those concepts are more attractive than the concept of conservation, mostly because the term conservative just plays into their hands. And that's what's so frustrating, is it didn't have to be this way. In the 1930s, the Democrats started calling their New Deal policies liberal, and they said, because liberal means change, and we stand in the vanguard of history and all these kinds of things. And the people who were opposed to the New Deal initially didn't use the term conservative. They said, well, we're classical liberals, or we are individualists, or we stand up for the Constitution and things like that. And then in the 1940s, in what I think was the biggest rhetorical mistake Republicans ever made, is they said, yes, we'll play their game. We will accede to their framing. They say they're in favor of progress, and we'll call ourselves conservatives, and we're against progress. And I think that's just been a huge handicap. There's nothing regressive or against progress about freedom. Freedom is the greatest force for progress in the history of the world, as far as I'm concerned, with the possible exception of science, although the two are linked. And so the freedom agenda is so pro-progress, I just see it being hamstrung and handicapped by this association with the label conservative, and it's quite maddening.
Well, one of the problems with liberalism, and this is something you had mentioned Jonah Goldberg before, I believe, but Jonah's written about the dangers of utopianism and the dangers that you're going to create some kind of, usually people who are creating some kind of utopian ideal are in favor of minimizing liberty and minimizing free choice and minimizing freedom, and to follow the ideals that are very much from a top-down direction that are imposed on people. Isn't that one of the reasons that progressive is not all that popular when people are asked to describe themselves? Because they see a progressive agenda very often as one that is being dictated by the people in power, and that basically is imposed on rather than chosen by the common populace.
Yeah, and I think that would be a very good strategy for Republicans to, you know, call their agenda realism and then start referring to the Democrats as utopians. Put them on the defensive. The Republicans have been playing defense ever since they adopted this rhetorical strategy in the 1940s of, you progress and we try to stop progress. You progress, we try to stop progress. We stand against progress. Just playing defense, switch it. You know, that's debate 101, is that you seize the rhetorical high ground and frame the terms of the debate, and then they have to play in your court. And I think if Republicans adopted the principle of realism and said, our policies are based on realism, realism about human nature, and all the great political thinkers of the past have been realists, whereas the Democrats stand for utopianism, and then put them on the defensive of trying to defend policies as utopian, I think they'd get a lot more traction than using the label conservative.
Well, that actually goes to, I mean, if you're policy even generally were put into some kind of practice, you would see that, for instance, on the issue of the school choice or on the issue of crime, the idea that somehow defunding the police is going to lower crime rates is one of the most ridiculous propositions you could possibly try to sell to people. And it is utopian, and it is not realistic, and it is not practical. One of the other words that hasn't come up yet in this conversation, at least, is a word that tests very well, I know, when they do public polling and survey investigations, which is the word reform. And we had briefly a reform party. It was unfortunately associated with the Nutburger, Ross Perot. But most people do see themselves as reformers, no? Or at least in favor of reformers who are going to chase away some of the corruption and some of the utopian thinking that has contributed to it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, that's what's funny, you know, because that's how Democrats have conceptualized themselves. We're the reformers. We stand for progress. And yet when you propose school choice reform, they're the first ones against it. And I guess that's, you know, that's the ultimate thesis of our book, and that was kind of an assumption behind the column I wrote, is that people have a flawed understanding. They think that you start with an ideology. You start with this idea, I'm a progressive, I'm a reformer, I like to change things. And then once you've adopted that philosophy, then you arrive at all these policies. You think your way to a belief in abortion rights and higher taxes and all the rest. And then, only then, do you join a tribe that happens to agree with you on all those policies. That's the standard way of thinking about ideology. Turns out it's exactly backwards. The political psychology, across, you know, many, many disciplines, you find that actually people start with their tribe. Maybe you anchor into it because you feel really strongly about one issue like abortion. Maybe you know, because of your family or your peer groups or whatever. And then once you've been socialized into that tribe, you adopt all of the other policies of that tribe as a matter of socialization. And then comes the ideology, meaning it's an ex post story we create to try to unify all these policies. But if you think about it rationally, there are so many Democrat policies that are against reform. And so, you know, again, these are just stories. Now, I would like to see a world where we didn't have such grand narratives, that we just looked at policies individually on their merits and didn't think in terms of a unidimensional spectrum. It's a really bad way to look at reality, and there's plenty of studies that back that up. But if we're going to have grand narratives, I'd prefer that the Republicans adopt a better narrative than the one they have.
A more realistic and, dare one say, even progressive narrative. Hiram Lewis, appreciate the conversation and appreciate the provocation. And we look forward to your new book, of which you are the co-author, The Myth of Left and Right. It's coming in January. We'll talk again then. And who knows, maybe the tribalism will have broken down and we will have made some, dare I say it, progress. We will be right back on the MedVet Show.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
We're going to work together to fund, I hope, work together to fund the government, COVID, and the war in Ukraine, all controversial and consequential issues.
President Biden's comments as he met with congressional leaders at the White House This as the Defense Department recently announced that the United States will be sending another $400 million in additional assistance to the war efforts in Ukraine. President Biden added that asking Congress to prevent a rail strike was not an easy call, but it had to be done. Home prices fell in September compared to what they were in August. That's according to the latest reading from the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index. They dropped by 1% across the country, which marks a third month in a row of declines. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
On the Michael Medved show, one of those races that is definitely going to go down to the wire, I am just looking at it, it's literally just breaking news. Republican Georgia Senate nominee Herschel Walker versus the Democratic incumbent U.S. Senator, Senator Raphael Warnock. There's a brand new poll survey from Frederick Polls. They have 50% for Herschel Walker and 50% for Raphael Warnock, with the election literally 1 week away. It is 1 week from today. Both candidates enjoy broad party support, but independents favor Warnock over Walker by 4 percentage points, 52 to 48. So even among independents, it's tremendously close. And it's just ironic. Here it has big lines, 50-50. And the Senate, if Herschel Walker wins, would be divided 50-50, which a lot of us think would be a better outcome than the other way around, in which case the Senate would be divided 51 for Democrats and 49 for Republicans. Either way, and it's one thing that Republicans should keep in mind, not in the sense of complacency, but in the sense of hope and optimism about a Republican future, which is that in the next Senate elections, which will, of course, coincide with the presidential election in 2024, regardless of who the Republicans nominate and regardless of whether Biden gets a shot at a second term by winning the nomination, there's a big advantage for Republicans because there are going to be 23 seats of the 33 that are going to be voted on for the U.S. Senate. 23 seats are held by Democrats, 10 by Republicans. And what that means is to gain the one or two or three seats that would actually make a real difference, regardless of whether Walker wins or whether Warnock wins, the real difference that will be made in 2024 will come down to a handful of seats, and Republicans have a profound advantage. Now, that despite the fact that there are indictments that go against the Republican Party all the time by people like Mara Gay, who is a member of the New York Times editorial board. She was on MSNBC and had a unique and, frankly, ridiculous perspective on the origins of the Republican Party. Listen, clip 9.
We have to kind of go back to the historical origins of the modern-day Republican Party, which does not mean that every single Republican subscribes to these beliefs, quite the opposite. But yet the origin of the Republican Party as we know it today really has to do with a backlash to civil rights. And so any understanding of that Republican Party without that historical backlash to civil rights is incomplete. And so while, of course, a majority, we hope, of Republicans do not espouse these views, I think we can safely say that, you know, that thread has always been there. And there has always been a tension between the way it is expressed, what's acceptable, you know, what kind of language can we use around it? How close do you get to some of the grosser parts of that base versus just a plain conservative economic agenda? And so that tension has always been there.
Okay, this is terribly unfair to the modern Republican Party. And the reason I say so is that the greatest achievement in terms of taking a step toward full civil rights in this country, most historians would agree, was the passage of the Civil Rights Bill of 1964, which literally could not have been passed and would not have been passed if it were not for the Republicans in the United States Senate and in the United States House of Representatives who voted for it. And leaders like Everett Dirksen in the U.S. Senate, who was credited by President Johnson, a Democrat, that was a time when people who were expressing racism and backlash to civil rights were not Republicans, they were Democrats. The leading backlash candidate in American history was a guy named George Wallace, who ran for president three times. Each time he ran for president, he ran either as an independent. He had the Wallace American Independent Party, and then he ran twice for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States. And that, it seems to me, is a very, very important perspective to hold. Dwight Eisenhower was a very positive president in terms of civil rights. He not only appointed the first significant White House aide who was black. He helped with using the military to defend the desegregation of the public schools. And he appointed Earl Warren, who was generally credited with organizing the 9-0 Brown versus School Board of Topeka case, which ended segregation in education. Let's go to Bud in Milton, Oregon. Bud, you're on the Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. Yeah, I'm calling in regards to Professor Hiram Lewis. You guys brought up an interesting concept. My personal opinion is progressivism has been around for 100 years, and they wear this goofy little hat, which has many names on it. They just changed the name to meet their needs, like progressive, moderate, socialist, communist. They just spin it around on their head. And really, what's wrong with the conservative or conservation as far as terms? You know, where the old meaning used to be when we were kids, use, maintain, but don't abuse. To be honest, I think the left constantly changes definitions and meanings and words constantly, day in and day out. There's a term for that called verbicide. That's all I have to say.
Well, I think that's a perfectly legitimate comment. The difficulty here is that the term progress, take out progressive. If you ask people, are you in favor of progress? Almost everybody is. And there is, and one of the big challenges for the conservative movement, if you want to call it that, or the Republican Party right now, is how do you do better with young voters? Because if you look at the statistics from the recent midterm elections, this is one of those elections where basically your age helped to determine how you voted. And for voters under 40, and particularly for voters under 30, Republicans did very poorly. And I think the idea is to use the term conservative, but to make it clear that conservatives actually favor progress on improving our public education system in terms of strengthening our military. There's nothing inherently conservative about that, but it's become identified almost entirely with people who identify as conservative and happen to find a home in the Republican Party. Greatly appreciate your call. Here's an email that came in from Oklahoma, and Keith in Oklahoma. He says, why didn't the Democrats who controlled all branches of government fix the border and immigration problems if there is such a consensus on that issue? And I think what you might be responding to is a piece in the Wall Street Journal that actually looked at, and the answer is because they were basically unable to actually find agreement on the essentials of immigration. And the essentials on which there is agreement is that making legal immigration easier and making illegal immigration about as impossible as it possibly can be. We will be right back on the MedVet Show. Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately, I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
The stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
And on the Michael Medved show, they are getting serious about the a lame duck session of Congress that has a great many challenges awaiting it, including voting recently on doing something about the rail strike, which is a grave threat to the American economy and to American security, because Americans' economy and security are directly related. There's a Washington Post editorial appeared actually a couple of days ago. And the editorial is, opinion, here's how Congress can make the lame duck session a mighty one. And they list a number of priorities. And the rail strike isn't among them, but that's an obvious priority that you can add. But priority number one, prevent the risk of a catastrophic default. And they write that Republicans have already signaled the intention of their hardliners to hold the national debt limit hostage for spending cuts or other Democratic concessions. Republicans put the nation's full faith and credit in doubt this way back in 2011, thwarted only by a tenuous last-minute compromise that Mr. Biden, then the vice president, brokered with Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. The incoming GOP congressional delegation includes an extreme right faction larger and more radical than the one that almost crashed the economy in 2011. A default by the U.S. government would be substantially worse than the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008, devastating global markets and the economy, says the chief economist for Standard & Poor's. She even said that last year. Democrats should take these risks off the table by raising the debt limit in the lame duck by whatever means necessary. If too few Republicans are willing to help, Democrats should use the reconciliation process, which allows them to pass certain types of legislation through the Senate with a bare majority vote, to increase the debt limit substantially. This would eat up precious floor time in the final weeks before the 117th Congress goes out of business, but there could hardly be a more urgent matter than preventing the global financial instability that could result from even partial U.S. debt default. Look, I think it's one of those things where, frankly, the Republicans can make a very powerful statement moving in the right direction, which would involve taking this threat off the table. In other words, if you're going to be talking about crashing the full faith and credit of the United States, honestly, it should not be even conceivable that one party or another would want to be tagged with the blame on something like that. So to actually signal at this point before the new Congress comes in and to allow the new Congress to begin gathering momentum by showing that, yes, we can avoid something of this nature, which is so dire, would be very positive. The second point that they talk about as a mighty agenda item is to fight Russian aggression. Congress should lock in economic and military aid for Ukraine while supporters in both parties still dominate Capitol Hill. And by the way, they will still dominate Capitol Hill after the new Congress comes in as well. To Russian President Vladimir Putin's undoubted delight, U.S. aid has faced bipartisan skepticism in recent days as some on both the Democratic far left and the Trumpian Republican far right questioned the need to spend billions hoping that the country defend itself against Russia. In fact, the cost of stopping Mr. Putin's attempt to redraw the map by force are far smaller than the cost of letting him get away with it. I think that's entirely true as well. And then they talk about protecting democracy at home. Another overriding priority should be passing a legislative response to January 6th and the Capitol attack. And basically, to do that on a bipartisan basis, as they have in drafting already, and it's already passed the one House of Congress, the attempt to redraw the Electoral Vote Count Act from 1887. And it would be a very useful accomplishment. And finally, they write, don't let a wish list get in the way of realism. And the Washington Post editorial writes, and I think it's wise, Democrats have a long list of other goals. A bipartisan bill guaranteeing same-sex marriage rights, that's about to pass. A permitting reform bill that would ease construction of clean energy infrastructure, not going to pass. Confirming more Biden-picked judges, action on the child tax credit. But enough Republicans are interested in permitting reform and perhaps even the child tax credit, and they could pass in some form in future Congress. If, as seems quite possible, Democrats do hold the Senate, and they will hold the Senate, either way, they can confirm judicial nominees after January 2. Democratic leaders should focus on objectives that are not only most necessary, but also stand their best or only chance of passage during the lame duck session. It's all ambitious and maybe constructive if they actually get something done. But meanwhile, they will be less distracted after the Georgia runoff is settled and the actual composition of the Senate becomes very clear. In terms of preserving that 50 votes in the U.S. Senate for the Republicans, that even split that they have now, that split demands that Herschel Walker win the runoff election. And Governor Brian Kemp, who has been so nastily attacked by President Trump, and yet won in a primary overwhelmingly and won overwhelmingly in his reelection fight for governor at a time when, obviously, the Senate race is still locked up in a tie, he was out there campaigning for Herschel Walker and urging people to vote. Here is what Governor Kemp, clip 10, had to say. Governor Kemp, clip 10. Okay, we are missing on that one. So Governor DeSantis will take another rising Republican governor, actually spoke out in behalf of the people of China who have risen up against an authoritarian, in fact, totalitarian government, and actually seem to give them a little bit of solidarity in their opposition to the zero COVID policies in China, which have not particularly worked. This is Governor DeSantis, clip three.
What we've been seeing going on in China, this zero COVID policy is draconian, it violates people's liberties, and it is completely unscientific. And the people of China are right to be able to speak out and protest against what the Chinese Communist Party is doing. This CCP has a maniacal desire to exert total control over its population. Zero COVID is really just the pretext for them to do what they want to do anyways. And that is not a model that can work over the long term. The people in China are finally speaking out against it. And I just think we need these draconian COVID policies to go to the ash heap of history where they belong.
That's Governor DeSantis of Florida. Why is he speaking out on matters of foreign policy? Think about it. You don't have to think about it too long. He is one of the two serious Republican candidates for president, even though, unlike President Trump, he hasn't announced his candidacy yet and probably won't do so until, I suspect, until after Biden has announced that he is going to either run or not, which is supposed to come in January. Speaking of running for president and forming coalitions and actually binding with other people, there is a Washington Post report by an economist named Bryce Ward about Americans choosing to be alone and why that's a problem for our country's health and for its security, as a matter of fact. By 2019, the average American was spending only 4 hours per week with friends. Why is this a national problem? We will be getting to that and much more with Bryce Ward of the Washington Post coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
For 20 years, I've been an afternoon napper, usually for about 30 minutes, but never longer than an hour. I justified this behavior by observing that animals take quiet times in the afternoon. All 5 cats go quiet, as does the dog. The chickens all sit quietly under a tree for about 90 minutes every afternoon. The wild birds say nor sing anything during this time. All goes quiet. Since beginning daily use of Your Way, I've not taken an afternoon nap, nor has the thought of taking one ever entered my mind. I'm single and homeschool my 3 children. I feel I'm a bit calmer and a bit more alert in managing them since using Green Meadow Way. Finally, I've been tortured with sciatic nerve pain for the last year. After months on Green Meadow Way, the improvement has been great, and I hope for a complete release from that energy and life-sucking malady.
Call 888-988-3322. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.